Well, good morning to you all. It's good to be here. For those of you who do not know, we have been working our way slowly through the book of Proverbs as a congregation. This morning, my verses are Proverbs chapter 30, verses 15 through 17, which we'll read at this time. The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, "Give, give, there are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. The eye that mocketh at his father, and despiseth to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." Now, these verses are rather depressing, if you ask me, but there's some good warnings in here. Some of the other brothers had some of the previous verses. I would like to read verse 11 again, and I will read these from the Tyndale's Bible, verses 11 through, it would be 15. And I feel like these verses are all tied together. And I think the Luther's German translation brings this out as well. It describes the generation that is despising or cursing their father and mother in verse 11. These are all points to this generation. "He that bringeth up an evil report upon the generation of his father and mother is not worthy to be commended. The generation that think themselves clean shall not be cleansed from their filthiness. There are people that have a proud look and cast up their eyelids. This people's teeth are swords, and that with their jawbones they consume and devour the simple of the earth and the poor among men. This generation, which is like a horse leech, hath two daughters. The one is called Fetch Hither, and the other Bring Hither." And I read that to try to give us a picture. We read about other generations and groups of people in both the Old and the New Testament. Jesus spoke of the one. He called him a generation of vipers. "How can ye say well when ye yourselves are evil? For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." And this generation, I think every generation since the fall of man could look around them and say the same things about this generation. And I really think it's true today as it ever was concerning this generation. Well, these people have no respect. But at the same time, they claim to do good. They understand themselves to be doing good. And they hope that God understands them to be this way also. All the while, they do not realize that what Jesus spoke to them in Matthew 15 applies to them. "Perceive ye not that whatsoever goeth in at the mouth descendeth down into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, breaking of wedlock, whoredom, theft, false witness bearing, and blasphemy. These are things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." This generation, of which we are a part, is consumed with sanitation and with healthy eating and with modern medicine and with all of these things. But the things that are going on morally, cursing father and mother, being proud, backbiting, and casting up their eyelids. I would say in modern terms, that's kind of like looking down your nose at somebody. And they are devouring the simple and the poor from among men, all the while being consumed with being sure that the outside is right, being sure that the outside is clean and pure, medically speaking. We can't stand a germ in our house, if you get my hint there. Now, verse 16 goes into talking about the continuous desiring in the life of someone who is discontent. And the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, has an interesting reading about the horse leech. The horse leech hath three dearly beloved daughters, and these three did not satisfy her, and the fourth was not contented so as to say enough. And then it lists them. I thought that was very interesting, because that ties that right into the previous thought. And so we have a generation of evildoers. Let me describe something. This is geared towards the ladies here. I'm going to read this passage here. It's very familiar. Moreover, thus saith the Lord, seeing the daughters of Zion are become so proud, and come in with stretched out necks and with vain wanton eyes, seeing they come in tripping so nicely with their feet, therefore shall the Lord shave the heads of the daughters of Zion and discover their shame. In that day shall the Lord take away the gorgeousness of their apparel, and spangles, chains, partlets and collars, bracelets and hooves, the goodly flowered wide embroidered raiment, brushes and headbands, rings and garlands, holiday clothes and veils, kerchiefs and pins, glasses and smocks, bonnets and stashes, and instead of a good smell there shall be stink among them. And for their girdles there shall be loose bands, and for well set hair there shall be baldness, instead of a stomacher a sackcloth, and for their beauty witheredness and sunburning. Their husbands and their mighty men shall perish with the sword in battle. At that time shall their gates mourn and complain, and they shall sit as desolate folk upon the earth. And it just seems to me, that this is how God is seeing this generation. We come in all dressed up, and we come in all perfumed, and we're ready to go. And God sees our hearts, just like He there in Matthew 15. Verse 16, the horse leech can grow up to 6 inches in length, but doesn't actually suck blood. Rather, it consumes soft-bodied invertebrates like earthworms by swallowing them whole. I really think the leech it's talking about here is the medical leech, the one that sucks blood from humans, animals, fish, and etc. They will grow up to 8 inches long, and they will consume anywhere from 1 to 3 teaspoons of blood in a single feeding. Now, the leech has become synonymous for a type of person who habitually exploits or relies on others for his sustenance or other needs. A leech is really good for nothing except for catching fish with. That's really the only good. They use leeches sometimes to pull blood when they reattach fingers or limbs to help bring circulation back to that. But really, there is no practical use for a leech. And if you take that into the spiritual, are we leeches or are we givers? And if you're just a leech is a pest. It's classified as one of the, in plain English, the one article I read said they are really at the bottom of the totem pole of the animal world. There's a few things below them, but they really have no brain. They really have no eyes. They're a leech. There's nothing good to be said about them. All they do is take. That's all they do. Now, leeches were used for bloodletting, to drain the body of bad blood, as early as the first century A.D. and up into the late 1800s. This practice was finally shown for what it is, bogus science, and was one of the factors in the death of the first president of this country, George Washington. I don't know how many of you know that, but he died of a combination of bloodletting and pneumonia or something like that. And the losing a lot of blood sure didn't help him any. Anyway, back to verse 16. There are three things that are never satisfied. The grave is one of the things. The grave is always open for more dead. Have you considered that approximately 106 billion people have been born and died since creation? And yet there is always room to bury another. Think about that. On top of that, all of those souls have a place in eternity, either of joy or of woe. That's one of the things, that's a sobering thing that never has enough. The love of a woman, in the Septuagint, a woman's womb or a barren womb, they never have enough either. And I believe this is a type of a woman is the childbearing partner in a couple. And it is simply a type of the woman. Some of the greatest jealousies on earth have occurred because of the strong desires of a woman wanting a man. Or it's happened the other way around too. And the resulting infidelities. Women can be very sensitive to their husbands, even noticing or acknowledging another woman. And this sensitivity can lead to endless strife in a marriage. And all I have to say to that is that I've been very blessed. I cannot speak from personal experience there, since my wife has been very patient with me. The other thing that never has enough is the earth. You can always pour more water on the ground, especially sandy soil, and it just disappears. You can just keep pouring, and it goes somewhere. And it goes into the earth. The last thing that never has enough that's listed here is fire. It will consume basically anything you feed it. The only thing not hurt, but only purified by fire, are precious metals like gold, silver, copper, etc. Even stones, concrete, glass, steel, etc. will be damaged if the fire is too hot. Now, verse 17 wraps up this section, if you want my opinion. He explains metaphorically what will happen to the eye of one who lives like this. Ravens can represent many things, as well as the location where they eat the eye in the valley there. But there is no doubt that he or she who lives like this, who is a partaker in this generation, there's no doubt what end they will come to. Read a few more scriptures here. And like I said, this is a rather, if this is all we hear today, it's rather depressing. I trust there will be other good things said today. Romans 8, we read, and as it seemed not good unto them to be known of God, even so God delivered them up into a lewd mind, that they should do those things which were not comely, being full of all unrighteous doing, of fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, evil-conditioned whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, doers of wrong, proud, boasters, bringers up of evil things, disobedient to fathers and mothers, without understanding, covenant breakers, unloving, truce breakers, and merciless, which men, though they knew the righteousness of God, how that they which such things commit are worthy of death, yet not only do the same, but also have pleasure in them that do them. And in 2 Timothy 3, this understand that in the last days there shall come perilous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, cursed, speakers, disobedient to father and mother, unthankful, unholy, unkind, truce breakers, stubborn, false accusers, rioters, fierce, despisers of them which are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, greedy upon voluptuousness, more than the lovers of God, having a similitude of godly living, but have denied the power thereof, such abhor. For of this sort are they which enter into houses and bring into bondage women laden with sin, which women are led of diverse lusts, have ever learning and never able to come unto the knowledge of truth. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, even so do these resist the truth. Men they are of corrupt minds and lewd as concerning the faith, but they shall prevail no longer. And then in Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And like I said, that's not a very nice picture to end on. But as far as these verses go, there's not very many promises in there and not much encouragement. But I think it gives us a good definition of a couple of good challenges, one being a leech. What are you doing with your life? Are you giving or are you only taking? And if you're only taking, there's a limited amount of animals that eat leeches. It's not some delicacy that some exotic restaurant serves. It's just that's a good challenge for us, I feel. Are we part of this generation? Proud, demanding, and looking down on all forms of authority, despising authority, calling evil good and good evil. Those are all things that are either said or implied in these scriptures that we read this morning. So it's really all I have to leave you. Thank you.